This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 15th individual stepped forward in a book and said, in this case, said she was raped by Donald Trump. Others have had various forms of sexual assault. The 15th individual, an accomplished writer for a long, long time. I was familiar with the name, but didn't know a great deal about E. Jean Carroll until I read a little bit about her. I watched her interview on with Anderson Cooper. 15. And let's be clear about this. The Democrats who defended Bill Clinton regarding Juanita Broderick mocked Juanita Broderick, made fun of Juanita Broderick, belittled her when Juanita Broderick talked in great detail about Bill Clinton. Paula Jones. Think about all the mocking she received from Democrats. So Democrats don't exactly have a position to fall back and feel like they're great in this area, unless they didn't defend Bill Clinton in this area. But the 15th individual steps forward and accuses Donald Trump of sexual assault, in this case, more than sexual assault, rape. And Adam Carter, where was in the news? It wasn't even that prominent, was it? That's where we're at right now. Where the president of the United States is accused of this, and we've reached a point where we've heard this story before. And the president of the United States says this in an already scheduled interview with The Hill. By the way, The Hill, they had an interview with him, and there was some good content in there too. But when it says exclusive, and the day before he was on with Chuck Todd, and the day before he was on with Telemundo, and he's doing news conferences all the time, I'm sorry, that's not an exclusive. News outlets who overuse that term, you're better than that. But when the president says, I'll say this with great respect, she's not my type. Trump folks, or anybody, you want to defend that particular phrase? You are accused of raping someone. In this case, successful New York businessman is accused of raping a woman at a very prominent department store in New York. And if he wants to say, I don't believe her, it didn't happen, I know it didn't happen, there's no videotapes, and he said some of these things, okay? That's one thing. But literally, your mind thinks the proper response should be when you're accused of rape, not my type. And if you think this is the first time he said this, you're wrong. Because when another woman stepped forward, he said, believe me, she wouldn't be my first choice. Where are the evangelicals on this particular one? Adam Carter, who, let's hope all of us believe in character and morality and decency. And you're allowed to find that anywhere you would like. But the president has the support of evangelicals like no other Republican ever. And I thought the Bible is all about treating people right, treating people fairly, and treating people decently, and holding people to standards. The president of the United States, when accused of rape, says, not my type. There's 0.0% defense of that explanation of this type of assault. It is a disgusting response. I have no clue if it's true. None. We have 15 different individuals who step forward. You believe they're all working together? You believe this is some coordination? Remember when the president was going to sue? That's not happening. What other decent person of character, when accused of something this awful, of rape, would say, not my type? I know I'm not going to get responses from Trump folks because there's no way of defending this. Because I've already said there's no defending Bill Clinton. I called out the Democrats as frauds, how they defended Bill Clinton regarding Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones. So this isn't two standards. This is one standard of decency. And this is what your guy says. And it's just pathetic. Dan, when you saw that the president responded to an accusation of rape with the words, I'll say this with great respect, she's not my type. Your first reaction was what?
It was twofold. It was one, I'm not sure that just because you say something out of great respect, that means it's automatically respectful.
Yeah.
And two, just a lack of surprise because this is how he reacts to stuff like this, is immediately to try to shame or put down the other person. Whatever you think, you know, the credibility of her charges are,
right?
That doesn't necessarily have to determine how he reacts, but
Correct. It
does.
Correct.
It just does.
Adam?
Same. It doesn't surprise me at all. Nothing surprises me anymore. And it was expected, and that's pretty much what I would expect him to say. So,
among the texts coming in, everybody who supports this clown are not only the biggest hypocrites in the world, but have no guts. Then we have this text. Give me a break. Stop with the propaganda. That's you know what. Somebody accused him of rape. What's the big deal if he said, if she's not my type? I don't get it. What's to say she's not a lying scumbag? How about that? Okay. That's another proud moment for this particular person. Number one, I said not once but twice in the last conversation, I have no idea if she's telling the truth. By the way, there are two people that she told in her life at the time who have verified that she told them right away. She's an accomplished individual. This isn't someone who's just emerging for her moment in the spotlight. But if you really think the explanation is what's the big deal, then you really should look in the mirror sometime. You really, really should. Because that is a disgusting response by anybody. Anyone. I voted for Trump, love the economy, but not sure I can keep my head in the sand much longer. The economy in many, many ways is so good. Not in all ways, because it's never great in all ways. But if Hillary Clinton had this economy right now, Democrats would be absolutely raving about this economy. That's the whole thing. I will still say, though, at this point, Adam, on June 25th, if the election was today, or no, it's not today. Let's project. If I had to say yes or no, he's going to win, I still lean yes. I still lean yes. And I get that polls in states right now show Biden with the lead. I'm all in that it's not going to be Biden, by the way. I still think he's a flawed candidate. I still think he's going to put his foot in his mouth repeatedly. I still think he doesn't match the time. The economy's the whole thing, Ed. As long as the economy stays close to this, I think the president will win enough of the borderline states. How about you? If you had to project to November 4th next year, and listen, we're right now, Iran, who knows? North Korea, who knows? We're going to have 10 more events that will happen within our country and internationally, which we have no idea. We can't predict. But if you had to project now, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, barring any unforeseen thing, yeah, as it is today, I would think, yes, he probably would get reelected.
You're right. I mean, you're spot on. The economy is huge. And he has an incumbency advantage, which is hugely important as you look through history. And he's got a tremendous monetary advantage right now.
Does, yep.
So you line all of those things up. It's not impossible for him to lose. But right now, as you're sitting looking at it, it's unlikely.
Yep. Listen, and on the individual, she has a book out, right? This is featured. When she's saying in interviews it's only a small part of the book, I think she's got to stop with that part, Adam. When you accuse the president of the United States of raping you, it's the number one part of the book, and nothing else is close. If you want to say she's just touting the book, I guess I can accept that theory. But there's no defense at all to ever say, if someone accuses you of rape, ever, even close to it, to say, not my type. That's a disgusting response. We think we're going to chat with R.T. Ryback later in the week on the Democrats debate. I'm going to try to put R.T. Ryback in charge of this project, Adam. We've discussed this before. I walked in later today because Quentin had a doctor's appointment, which went for a long time. It was something we really hope is helpful to his myriad of issues with just a fantastic doctor. But as I came in, is it the Accenture Tower? Where
I think it's changed names now, but it used to be the Accenture Tower.
Okay. And they've got the huge lawn area, and they're playing games out there all the time on a day like this. You and R.T. Ryback, I'm appointing co-chairs. I want a large green space somewhere in downtown Minneapolis.
How large?
Well,
don't we have, what about the East Town?
The Commons thing?
It seemed awful.
Was it festive?
Well, last few times I've been by it, there have been a lot of people out there. I mean, it gets used quite heavily.
Does it?
Yeah.
Didn't you think we were getting more out of that?
Well, I thought it was going to be used more.
Yeah. But didn't you think it was going to be bigger? And because I forget who. Was it the Star Tribune or maybe it was even City Pages? But they showed the initial projections. Dan, you chime in also. And it looked like it was going to be so much bigger.
Are we talking about the Commons?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was playing secretary for TV over here.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know that I had in my head. I thought there would be more stuff going on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't Jacob Frye come on at one point and talk about they were going to do these big movie nights? And,
yeah.
And I don't know. Is any of that stuff going on? I mean, I see the occasional gathering over there, but it doesn't seem like it's being used in the manner
right.
that I assumed it was going to be.
Adam, I wanted it as big as Central Park. Can you pull that off?
Yeah. Got to clear out some buildings.
How many buildings are we going
to? Including your guy Dermot, right? But his building would have.
No. McKinney Row stays.
Oh, okay. McKinney, everything else around that
everything
building?
Everything around is out.
All right.
McKinney Row. In fact, I'd shut down every other restaurant in town except for McKinney Row and O'Donovan's. It was in fact, that should be another part of you and RT. All the rest of them out. McKinney Row and O'Donovan's are the only two restaurants in downtown Minneapolis. But wouldn't it be sweet if we had a bigger green space in downtown Minneapolis?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be fun. I think, you know, especially with the proliferation of the scooters, that the fact that, you know, if you're spread out downtown, you could still get down to that area or whatever pretty easily. I mean, I think that'd be fun.
Carter, it seems like you're just bored by
it. I'm okay with the current green space situation.
Seriously, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. I mean, you got lakes down to the south.
Downtown. Shouldn't downtown have
it
bigger?
Room? There's no room for it here.
That's why I'm putting you and Ryback in charge of this committee. Do we need another 30-story building? Man, how uber lefty do I sound on this topic here? I
mean, take away all those construction jobs,
yes,
here, Chad? Is that what you want
yes,
to do?
Yes, I do. I want you to bike on down here. I want you to get rid of your cards. Your cards, too. What card of Carter?
The ace of spades.
Ace of spades. No, I would like that. Dan, it seems like, you know, you're more in touch with your feelings. You know what he's doing? He's being the South St. Paul tough guy right now. Tough guys from South St. Paul don't care about green space unless it's allowed.
No, I said I do, but I think we have a fine that spot down by the east, whatever it's called, town. And our little park here by formerly Accenture Tower. I think
yeah, but we're not allowed. We're not allowed to use the former Accenture Tower. That's for the people who work there. We can't go. We cannot play their little games.
They can try and stop me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Carter, are you going over there and playing games,
yeah,
and you're
not
supposed to?
Prove I don't work there.
I'm not sure you work here, but I mean that's a premise. Maybe we should start naming buildings that should come down. Adam, you first. Give me a couple buildings that you're willing to take down for your project.
Well, you know, that Campbell Methuen Tower is not an attractive building. That can come down.
It's not.
Mm-mm. What about our building?
Our building.
You like to go on rants about our building.
Our building
I'll tee you up
stinks.
For that.
I mean, but what kind of green space are we going to have right here?
I don't know, right on the corner? That'd be kind of cool.
We got to leave up Cambria. You know, so we got a green space around Cambria. What if we had a green space? So we have just have Cambria on the main floor, and then we just have the green space.
On the roof, right?
Target Center, do they still have the grass on the Target Center roof?
Yes.
Okay. We play on the green space of the Cambria building.
There you go. Perfect.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Adam doesn't care about it. You know what he wants? Wants more factories.
He wants it to be 3.
You know what he wants? He wants more coal.
Coal.
Yeah. Coal.
Dig, baby, dig.
Dig.
Drill, baby, drill. Frack, baby, frack.
Careful.
Somebody says take down Target Center. Outdoor basketball. Maybe that would that give our club a better chance? I mean, listen, we've advanced past the first round.
February?
Once,
I think so.
Can't go once too far in 30 direction. Years. You talk about a home court advantage.
It would be, yeah.
Right, Carter?
Tough guy basketball.
Tough guy basketball. Yeah. Hey, boy, this road trip. We start in L.A. And then we finish in Minneapolis. Get it done.
I'm in.
The Suns played an exhibition game in Palm Springs sometime in the last 10, 15 years.
On an outdoor court?
Yeah.
That should happen more often, shouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Why?
That's fantastic.
I mean,
if they can play college basketball on the deck of a Navy carrier, you can do that.
Think about, Adam, how many times your sport has milked the outdoor hockey thing, right?
Yeah, it was cute at first.
Exactly. I think it was great at first.
Yeah. Just the one game on New Year's Day.
Yes. But then they beat it into the ground. You're telling me all our warm weather climates can't set up an outdoor game and you have a backup?
Sure.
You have the backup?
Absolutely.
Just
it's a complete no-brainer.
Just like we get one outdoor game.
That'd be so great.
We get the outdoor NBA game. Let's go.
You know who'd be there? Eric Nelson. Park it up. He'd be good to go.
Jumbotron.
He'd be screaming about why don't the Vikings do this.
Yes. Santa Anita. Not exactly a show where we talk a lot of horse racing here, outside of when Carter's claiming he's going to predict winners. Or a lot of times, you know what he normally does, Dan? God, I almost picked that horse. If I had
a nickel for every time I've done that.
If I would have been there, I had the exact. Of course, I wasn't there.
Let me tell you about the Derby this year.
So I didn't have it. But what happened or what has happened over the last few months at Santa Anita seems like it is unbelievable. Some say if you look at the numbers elsewhere, it's not that out of the ordinary. Let's explore that when we come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
John Shirva is about to join us. Dan tracked him down. I read his stories. He's very good. He now is a special contributor to the LA Times. He started the Times in 1980. He left to become the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune and the Tribune sports coordinator. In 2002, he joined the Times in 2009 and left his post as the deputy sports editor in 2017. But if you've been paying attention to the news, over the last few months, you've been reading about the stories out of Santa Anita. Well, when they finished up, 30 horses lost their lives either racing or training. 24 days were lost either in the name of safety or not having enough horses to race 4 days a week. Two major Kentucky Derby and Oaks prep races were never run. One Hall of Fame trainer was banished from the track after six horse deaths. John knows his story very, very well, and he's kind enough to join us. Thank you for your time, sir. How out of the ordinary is this story at Santa Anita for Santa Anita and compared to other tracks? Because that's part of what drew me to the story and reading your work and some other stories over the last few weeks.
Well, it's unusual for Santa Anita. I think this is the first real cluster of deaths that they've had. And, you know, the thing is, the meet started on December 26th, and by mid-February, there were already 17. So, you know, you could say they might have been a little bit slow on the uptake to really realize there's a problem. And then, you know, since then, there's been another 13. But horses die in horse racing. That's yep. The sad reality of it. There have been, Delmar had a big cluster a few years ago, Saratoga in New York. And in 2011, 2012, you may not remember, but Aqueduct had lost 21 horses in a very short period of time. And I'm sure even in your city, Canterbury Downs, has had some, but I don't know how well it was reported on. I mean, that's sort of the difference here is it's in Los Angeles, so people hear about it. And to your question about how common or how pervasive it is, the metric that they use to count horse fatalities is number of horses dead per 1,000 starts. And because races, you know, they're just different numbers of horses and races and all this. And Santa Anita last year was a 2.02. Churchill Downs was a 2.8. But the New York tracks were like a 1.2, and the national average was like a 1.68. So that sort of gives you the range.
Sure, that's a good way to look at it. Well, you write about this, too. California and New York are considered two of the most transparent states in the country. Some states, such as Kentucky, obviously, where the Derby's at, they redact most information about horse deaths, and some states don't report fatalities to the national database. Do you think because of what's taking place at Santa Anita, there's going to be greater pressure, maybe even through politicians, to make more tracks transparent about what's taking place?
Well, there's actually a bill in Congress right now called the Horse Racing Integrity Act that would deal with issues such as reporting equine deaths and also the use of medication, you know, like race day Lasix and things like that. So I think the sport has really never been in under this much scrutiny. And when you take that and compare it to the mores of people today, if you let me tell a quick story here, is we all remember Seabiscuit. We saw the movie. Maybe we read the book. Mm-hmm. Seabiscuit was basically a cripple. This horse really should not have been running, but yet he is the underdog story of who he was and everything about him. The country absolutely rallied behind him, and he became, you know, on the cover of every magazine and the star and this and that. If Seabiscuit were alive today, people would be appalled if he were to run that horse because of the condition that he was in. That's, you know, that's 40, 50, 60, 70, you know, that's how time has changed and how things have evolved in what we feel about the use of animals for our own entertainment.
The governor has stepped in. Senator Feinstein has stepped in a number of times. As of now, when the meet was taking place at Santa Anita, what changes did take place and what changes do you expect to take place, if any?
Well, the two major things that happened, one of them is the reduction of race day Lasix. And Lasix is a drug that you give horses to prevent exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhaging, which essentially is bleeding from the lungs. And they made them reduce the amount of race day Lasix in half. And that's basically a public perception thing because there is no science that says there's any correlation between the use of Lasix and breakdowns.
Yeah.
But the thing that really, I think, made a difference is the amount of veterinary oversight. There's now a super panel of five people that have to okay a horse running, just looking at vet records and past performances and things like that. They've upped the number of vet inspections to, you know, at least four, and the vets actually have to sign off before a horse can run, and they have more latitude to scratch at the gate. So those are the things that I think that really, you know, were the big things. There's a proposal to eliminate use of the whip, but again, there's no correlation between use of the whip and breakdowns. However, it's just not very optically pleasing to see a jockey with his arm raised in the air, you know, and then whacking a horse. And I think what you'll eventually see there is they will not eliminate the whip, but just go to what's called the European rule, where you can't raise the whip above your shoulder.
The Los Angeles County District Attorney is investigating. Where is that at?
Well, what is going to happen in the next couple of weeks is the California Horse Racing Board will come out with their investigation. And what I think that will be is just a series of 30 necropsies where it's going to likely say that 70 to 80% of all horses had pre-existing conditions. That is not new. There's nothing new about that. But we don't necessarily have the technology or the medical equipment to be able to see a lot of these pre-existing conditions. Much like a football player, you can't tell if he has CTE until the autopsy. And, you know, all of us are probably born with some kind of pre-existing condition that might do us in at some future date. So I think that's what it'll come out at. I don't think there'll be a lot of use of rampant misuse of drugs, but I could be wrong. Then they're going to take all that information and turn it over to the DA, who has been investigating with the CHRB, and they're going to see if there's any indictments that need to be made. I mean, my guess is, you know, you might get a couple of trainers get caught up in it, but I have no sources inside the DA's investigation.
The attendance, was it affected at all as this was going along?
You know, the attendance, I think, was pretty much the same. You could say that attendance was off because of the weather, and they had like 20 inches of rain, which is, many of us believe, is a contributing factor to the number of breakdowns, because what they do is, I mean, I don't want to go anywhere in the rain, but what they would do is they would tamp down the surface, what's called sealing it, which would keep the water on top of it and run off and not get into the ground. That creates a very hard surface. Horses run on it, possibly causing microfractures that may not show up in this race, but in a future race, and that could be a contributing factor to the breakdowns too.
John, really good information. It's an interesting topic, and I'm glad you put in perspective about what is happening elsewhere and how it compares. I thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
John Sherva, he with the LA Times for a long time in multiple positions, and kind enough to join us. And it is alarming. Dan, you like the ponies more than I.
Yeah.
I know, and I knew before, that fatalities are a part of the sport itself.
Yep.
I didn't know the numbers were that high until I read these stories.
Well, and that's just it. I probably wouldn't have either. I mean, it's been highlighted at Santa Anita and, you know, obviously with the issues they were having with what they thought horses were getting poisoned early on. And
yep.
I mean, that highlights it. It's one thing for a horse to break down in a race, and I don't mean to downplay that at all. That's a tragedy when that happens. But I think people that are into horse racing or go to horse racing, that I don't want to say you expect that, but it doesn't surprise you if something like that happens.
Yeah.
But the number of different weird incidences that were happening at Santa Anita highlighted it. But yeah, it's great information from John. When you look around at other tracks, these numbers aren't as stunning as maybe you would have thought if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, and well, maybe it just means they're stunning at a lot of places. And the fact that California and New York are viewed as transparent and so many other places are not.
Right.
Maybe even here included. I don't totally know.
I have no idea.
Here, right? But listen, there's been a lot of good journalism on this. Real Sports did a good story on this 2 months ago or so, and we've had numerous horses pass away then. So yeah, we just wanted to put it in a little perspective.
There was a time in the country where horse racing and boxing were one and two,
yeah,
the biggest sports in the nation. And it's telling that both of them have dropped off, obviously, considerably into niche sports at this point. And that when you really dig into what's going on in those sports, there is kind of this uncomfortable, I mean, almost go back to the Michael Jackson. You can love the sport, but there's still something uncomfortable about it,
yep,
when you understand how the horses are treated in certain circumstances. And with boxing, the fact that you're literally, the whole point is to try and concuss your opponent.
You know, and with boxing, it's, and when some people aren't going, that is their overt decision because of the safety of the boxers. I don't know how many people who are horse racing fans already who have said, you know what, the horses are not treated in the proper way, so I'm not going. You know, I don't.
Yeah,
that's why I asked about the attendance.
Sure.
And I wonder if this has any effect whatsoever. My gut tells me it's not.
Probably
going
not.
To.
I mean, part of that. I mean, as much journalism as there's been, how much are people really paying attention to it is yep. one thing. And again, you know, it could still be in the situation where, well, I'm still going to go. I feel a little weird about it. It's, you know, this story now is in the back of my head, but it's not going to necessarily stop me from going. Just, I mean, I, you know, I'll go to the armory and watch boxing there, even though I know
yep.
this is not good for these people, but I'll still go.
It's 2:48. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to replace your roof with GAF asphalt shingles. All right, let's get to multiple items before we are done. The future queen of America is expected to rejoin us tomorrow. I don't know if she can talk about the secret mission yet, but I'm assuming soon.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I just hope it was a successful mission.
It's
her.
A good one.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
It's a good one. Hopefully she can chat soon. Madonna lands her 9th number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. When did it become the Billboard 200 chart? I always thought it was Billboard 100.
There's so many Billboards. I mean, there's the Hot 100. There's this.
That's true.
I mean, who knows?
So,
and in this day of streaming, how do you even tell really anymore? If I go and grab a couple of the songs, does that count as, you know, an album buy for her?
Well, I'll give you the explanation.
All right.
The Billboard 200 chart ranks the most popular albums of the week based on multiple metric consumption as measured in the equivalent of album units. Traditional album sales, track equivalent albums, and streaming equivalent albums. So in theory, they're trying to measure.
Well, and I'm sure they are. I'm just saying, you know, given the fact that when you go to, I mean, how many people go buy full albums on streaming anymore? I mean, I'm sure it happens, but I buy half the album, does that count as a full album, or how does that work?
What percentage of people do you think buy the whole album now?
30%, and I might be generous. I mean, I don't buy albums at all, right? I mean, I have some sort of music streaming service that I can go get stuff, so I don't buy individual albums at all.
Yeah. You cheat, in other words. You're not paying for it. Is that what you're
saying? No. I pay for the streaming service.
Sure, yeah.
But it just allows me access to everything, right?
Hold on. Can I wink on the radio? Sure, he pays for it. Does it shock you that Madonna...
No.
Does not?
Let me already answer that question. No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, because at this point, if you're a legendary name like her, Madonna, you know, Bruce Springsteen has a new album coming out, right?
Bruce is in the top 10.
Right. Of course he is, because he's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And Madonna's, you know, on that level.
Right.
If you're one of those people, that's the only way you can break through anymore and get a full album.
The idea, it would be more stunning if either one of them lasts for a long time in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
You know, Drake, I saw this item. Billboard, again, it's your Billboard roundup here.
Sure.
Drake officially outranks the Beatles with 35 charted songs. And yes, it's another Billboard list.
Oh, boy.
The Hot 100.
That's just wrong.
Drake.
That's wrong.
Has four hits.
And we've talked about this before. I'm not a huge Beatles guy.
I know.
That's wrong.
What a fraud you are.
That's wrong.
Led Zeppelin, overrated. You think the Beatles are overrated. Drake.
I kind of do.
How is this possible? And I get that he's talented. I'm not saying he's... And it can't just be that he's more prolific, because it wasn't like the Beatles... weren't cranking out tunes on a regular basis.
Is it just easier to get? We have easier access now instead of having to go to the record store and buy vinyl, or, you know, God forbid, buy a CD. Now we're just clicking on our phones.
I guess. Does this? I mean, because I know it's so tough to measure sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe you can make the argument it's easier to get on that less on the
no
list.
Idea.
It just doesn't seem.
It's wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah,
you can say that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to say.
It's wrong.
Yes, Drake. Drake, bigger impact on music in the total picture than, you know, those four guys. I forget their names. Winona bar robbery goes south when patrons realize gun is actually an air freshener. even think I need to read the rest of the story.
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. Right,
right, that's it. You know what I think this is? This is commitment, because you really believe in your cause. I think these gentlemen need to be applauded.
The robbers?
Yes. They were so committed to what they were doing. They said, anybody can do this with a weapon. We're going to show you our commitment, our guile, our skill, our moxie, our je ne sais quoi. We're going to try to rob the place with an air freshener. Now, it didn't go well.
I don't know if that's commitment or just desperation.
What's your go-to air freshener, by the way?
I'm a Glade guy.
Glade?
Oh, for sure.
Glade?
Yeah.
You look at that cool breeze, that kind of summer wind.
Exactly, kind of the ocean-y smell and stuff. Like that's
cinnamon. You want cinnamon?
No.
I mean, cinnamon.
I'm not a potpourri guy.
Okay. Cinnamon properly rated.
Yes, as a spice.
But on toast or something like that, not in the air.
Right.
Yes. Dan Cook applauding the robbers in Winona. That's how I remember it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.